The climate action plan details out in the last 10 days or so of sectoral limits and sectoral emissions and percentages that the governments are going to have to put in place on different sectors if we are to meet our climate action plan, if we are to meet the carbon emission targets that we are to do. A lot of trouble, a lot of hassle and a lot of grief over the agricultural percentage, and some people saying it's way too low and other sectors will have to go too far as a result. People in farming saying it's way too high and it will lead to an end of many smaller family farms. And one of the most strident opponents in the Dáil and elsewhere of the climate action plan and effectively the whole green agenda is Deputy Danny Healy Ray. I went out to Kilgarvan to meet him during the week and talk to him about an issue he wanted to raise with me, an area he wanted to take me to underline the concerns he has about where things are going and what he fears will happen to the small family farm. Have a listen. Danny, tell me now where we are. We're above looking down over Kilgarvan and over the Rookdee Valley and over the mountains. Tell me where we are exactly.
We're actually standing in the townland of Coolaughs in Kilgarvan Parish.
Yeah.
And what I want to point out to you, Johnny, is you can see the green, the few dots of green fields in the valleys and lanes here around us. And they're the only place that people can spread fertiliser.
Right.
They'll talk about fertiliser and emissions. But I say to you, there's less green ground here now than there was 200 years ago, because more of the land was farmed that time. There's a lot of little fields growing trees now and growing bushes that were opened and being farmed and gardened, sat in them before. But now, if there is such a thing as that kind of ground, sequestering carbon, you have a perfect vision here of what's happening and the amount of ground that's actually being farmed that you can spread fertiliser in, and the amount of hills and valleys and bogs and bushes and trees that you just can't farm at all.
Yeah. What you're saying is we're seeing the patchwork there on the left and down below us as well of the green areas of arable farmed land.
Yes.
And you're saying that those patches are getting smaller and smaller and smaller
and
over time.
They're much less now, certainly, than they were 100 years ago. And you can go all the ways over the hill, and the same thing is being replicated down in Barlan, the Barlan Valley, over Kilkenny and into Ballingeary. It's the same thing. And if we go behind you here, over Mangerton Mountain, all the ways down into Killarney, maybe into Lochatan, as far as Lochatan, you'll hardly find any fields at all. And what I find is very wrong with Minister Ryan and the Green Party. They don't understand this, and they don't want to give any recognition to the farmers that are trying to farm in these places, and whose lands, I say, are sequestering more carbon than they're even emitting.
Yes.
We're being told that this can't be measured till 2027.
So the Land Commission and the Land Use Survey and 18 months of work ahead on that.
Well, I think it is very unfair that farmers are not getting credit or won't get credit. Rather, they're going to be targeted, and they are being targeted. And we don't know what 22% meant or what 25% means, but I fear that will mean that small farmers in places like this will have to cut down their stock, making them unviable and wiping out more of these kind of people who the local economy depends so much. Look at the village of Kilgarvan. They are the people that come down off of the hills and spend their few bob in the shops, and if they're permitted, have a couple of drinks. The same likewise the town of Kinmare, those people that come in and keep that economy going. Are we going to create more demise and more of an exodus from these local areas?
Let me ask you this, Danny. We're hearing in the background we can see sheep grazing this land.
Yes.
But there's only a certain period of time in the year that this happens, these private holdings where you put sheep out on this type of land?
That's right. These type of grounds that we call Slievey grounds, they don't turn green till about the 10th or the 15th of June. And if you don't eat, you have to eat them then for those 2 months because it starts to turn again the 15th of August. It gets brown. And if it gets long and goes into all white fanon, they won't look at it. They'd starve.
Rather than eat it. Good for grazing, so it has to be grazed every year. The argument then, and one of the arguments, is in order for biodiversity to thrive and species to come back and to arrest the drop-off in insects and birds and wildlife in the uplands particularly, that there should be no grazing. And that the answer would be, and I'm paraphrasing here, this is just generalisation of what the argument is, the answer would be that farmers will be paid to leave it alone, to make sure that it develops, re-wet it if needed, but to leave it develop. What's your argument to that?
My argument to that is they'll pay, they're saying they're going to bring in these schemes and that they'll pay farmers. For how long is the question? Because if it's a scheme for 3 or 4 years or 5 years, I say to you, Jory, those farmers that are operating, that we're looking at here around, they're at what they're at for the last 40 years to try to get good at it. But if we're going to tell them, stop and we'll pay you for 5 years, what's going to happen after 5 years? Where are they then? What income will...
Will the money keep coming? And what will farming be like, is your question?
That's my question. And there's no surety whatsoever about that. But there's one thing sure, that they'll have forgotten and they'll have lost the way that they had for surviving and making a living. And like telling people that they'll pay them for nothing, for doing nothing, I don't agree to that. And farmers don't want that. They want to be paid to produce and have viable operations. Maybe there's some that will suit, maybe that are maybe not contemplating giving up anyway. But for the farmer that wants to produce something, surely it can't be right that will pay him for 3 or 4 years so that he'll get out of it and that he'll be producing nothing. Because you have to keep these things going.
Yeah. And you just keep people on the land, is what you're saying.
Keep them on. And do we want more places closed down, more doors? I could show you.
We're seeing here, like, you're seeing the wind farm over there on the left in Inchigila, the turbines. You're seeing a bit of forestry. Do you think there'll be more forestry? Will it all be wind farms and forestry if that's the way things go? Or how do you feel?
Well, there was no problem in planting certain land that was very marginal, planted with forestry and planted with spruce. And I know I've worked in forestries all my life. And there was good income. But at the present time, there's no forestry policy. I say to you, being personal, but I honestly believe that the junior forestry minister that we have at the present time, Pippa Hackett, is known, means you can't ever farm that land in any other way in the future. And farmers need to know that and be told that, because you won't be able to turn it into agriculture or grow grass anymore, or you're supposed to plant it again, even though there's no replanting grant. Yeah. And it doesn't continue, the grant doesn't continue after 12, maybe 15 years the very most. Yeah. And that's the end of our income then.
When you say then, we've got sheep here, we've lamb, when you see the farmers that are operating here, Eamon Ryan says, look, Irish farmers will be allowed to continue. They'll be paid to do certain things in a different way to help reduce fertiliser, reduce emissions, reduce any runoff that would run into the Rookdy River down here below us. But that they'll be paid a better premium for quality products, that they will be allowed farm. But it'll be maybe a smaller type of farming, but they'll get a better amount of money than they are now under the way that they're going to change things. What's your answer to that?
My answer to that, Eamon Ryan won't be always there, and he's saying that that's going to happen into the future. I'm very doubtful about that. There's no time limit being given as to how long these schemes will continue. Yeah. And like the man up here above me now that inherited the farm from his uncles, he's doing and producing lambs like they have been doing for the last 40, 50 years, as long as I can remember. Yeah. if he's told to go do something else, I'm sure what Eamon Ryan really actually means that this farm won't be producing anything in a few years, because if the scheme is only for a few years, and this man may not go back to what he was doing, or be able to go back, because you have to keep a place in order. And you know, there's no credit at all, I feel, being given to the farmer for the way they're keeping their places. They're the custodians of the land, and basically what all of them want to do is to farm and hand it down to the next generation, like was done to them before them.
What about the intensification then of farming, Denny? The modern ways of doing it, extracting more out of the land, more stock, that's contributing, and studies just got one there on the River Field that farming and forestry is part of the problem. It's why the river is being more polluted, fewer fish, and affecting water quality.
Well, you see, right away you have a contradiction there, because we're told to plant forestry, yes. and now they're finding out that it's a problem. Yes. So farmers are lost. They're getting advice from so many different
unsure what to do,
and they're unsure what to do. And for my own part anyway, and I'm still a small farmer, yeah. I'd like to be allowed to carry on the way that I've done all my life, and like my father and my people before me. And we feel we're not hurting the land or the environment in any way.
If in that in mind, finally, Daniel, like if there is a way to be done, or a way that they're going to, now we have this percentage and we're looking at the land use survey over the next 18 months, does a better job need to be done with farmers of communicating what the percentage will be, what it will mean in practical terms, what they'll be asked to do and what they'll be asked to sign up to?
Well, of course, because I was very unsure, and still am very unsure, with the IFA agreeing to 22%. Yeah. Because I'm not...
What does that actually mean in real terms?
What does that mean for food security into the future? We're a great food-producing nation, and we're doing everything to the very best of our ability, environmentally friendly. And we have the best weather... grass-based system for producing animals and for producing milk. And is it going to be the case that farmers in small places like this are going to be stopped of doing that, and that Brazil are preparing to export shiploads of beef into Europe to make up for what we won't be producing? So, Jerry, we're all under the one sky, and that's not fair. That's not fair. This is our economy that we have built up over generations. And like I say to you, it takes 40 years at least to develop a good dairy enterprise, or a beef enterprise, or a sheep and lamb enterprise, to get to know what are the right things to do. And overnight then...
Is that going to be given away?
Is that all going to be given away and lost with the promise of some scheme for this or some scheme for that, and we don't know how long those schemes. I mean, one of the best schemes that came in there was that environmental scheme, RIPS. But what did they do with that thing? They entice people to improve their places, and a lot of people did, and they built slatted tanks and they manure storage facilities and all those kind of things. They spent a lot of money, they got granted it for it. But no, that scheme, where did that scheme go? It is long gone.
Yeah.
And there's nothing as good as it coming. So you can't depend on schemes and notions of ministers and maybe European bureaucrats. Maybe their ideas are fine on paper, but they don't work in practice.
Okay, all right, Danny. Well, look, thanks very much for talking to me and explaining it to me this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Charlie.
There you go, that's Deputy Danny Healy Ray speaking to me in Coolog's Kilgarvan, overlooking the Rookty Valley, where Danny was outlining what he was talking about. You can see pictures and videos of that area up on our social media now at Kerry Today RK or on Radio Kerry Facebook, where you'll see exactly what he was talking about. That's his concerns, those are his views. Like I said, he's a strident opponent of green measures, of climate action measures, feels it's the wrong direction, doesn't trust the schemes being offered that they'll be sustainable into the future. We will put those up and you can check them out in a little while to see what the situation is there. But if you have a view on what he had to say, we want to hear from you. A caller gets in touch and suggests we play last week's AgriTime interview with Eddie Punch of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. Mark Lynch interviewed him for the programme. It would give people some perspective on what Danny and Jerry are talking about now. We'll have to look into that. But if you have an opinion on what Danny Healy-Ray had to say, then do get in touch with us on the programme. His concerns were, the other side of it, the action, needing to be taken. We're at record high temperatures. Most of Europe is burning in forest fires. A lot of damage being done to the ecology. And there are issues to do, as we've reported, with regards to water quality in this county and pollution of our rivers by some practices, including some farming practices, and the amount of intensification of agriculture we've seen in some parts as well, as against that.